We gather for worship this day in Corvallis, Oregon. What Corvallis meant, I thought it was a very strange name for a town. I had never heard of a town named Corvallis. After moving here, I then learned from Glenn Chafin that there is a town in Montana named Corvallis. When I learned that Corvallis means heart of the valley, it all makes sense. So it is that Corvallis, Oregon is at the heart of the Willamette Valley, and Corvallis, Montana is at the heart of the Bitterroot Valley. While the significance of Corvallis and its place in the valley might mean different things to different people, it reminds us of how we metaphorically reference central places and things at the heart. Thus, in our speaking, we make references to the heart of the matter. Watermelons have a heart. The heart of change, the heart of a message. It reflects that which is at the center, that which centers attention and is most important. Or in the case of a watermelon, that which is the sweetest. Another way that heart is used metaphorically is when we speak of putting our heart into something as putting all our energy and passion into it. While this figurative use of heart is different than our biological hearts, both are important. One is essential to the proper functioning of our bodies. The other is important to the functioning of our spirits. We thank God that we live in a time when some things that impair the functioning of our biological hearts can be addressed through surgery and technology. Thus, some among us are here today because of having had bypass surgery, heart valve replacement surgery, or because of having a surgically implanted pacemaker keeping one's heart in sync. While our heart is an incredibly resilient and strong organ of our body, it is also vulnerable to disease, injury, and age. Needless to say, it is an important part of our anatomy to protect, exercise, strengthen, and care for. Yet, we sometimes struggle to know the best ways to do that or to find the discipline needed for such a task. Likewise, when it comes to tending our metaphorical heart, we find that also is vulnerable to corruption, deceit, despair, and resignation. Our reading from 2 Timothy warns about times when people find teachers to suit their own desires and turn away from listening to the truth. In today's gospel, Jesus tells a parable about his followers' need to pray always and not to lose heart. Thus, Jesus was aware of the perils of people losing heart and addressed this in a story form that we call a parable. As we discovered upon hearing it read earlier, it is a story of a persistent widow seeking justice from an irreverent, disrespectful, callous judge who has no empathy or even sympathy for the widow's plight and actually admits it. He says of himself in the story, "I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone." Yet tired of being pestered by the relentless plea of this woman, he grants her justice. He does so not out of concern for her or her case, but to free himself of what, From his perspective is her grating, unwelcome, annoying voice. He does the right thing for the wrong reason. Initially, we might think this story is only about the importance of prayer, but then we get that zinger at the end of the parable with Jesus' question projected into the future about finding faith on earth. So it would appear this is not only a story about prayer, but also the connection between prayer and faith. In his article in the Living Lutheran, Reverend Delmar Chilton says, "This story is about persistence in prayer and faithfulness in living. This is a story about not losing faith in the face of difficult times." When he told this parable, Jesus knew that the lives of his disciples were going to get even more difficult and not less difficult. Because this parable is only found in the Gospel of Luke, it might also reflect that when Luke wrote his gospel, the early church found itself in difficult times, having experienced the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and finding religious oppression and persecution on the rise. Though we live in different times, we too live in times marked with our own difficulties. Our spiritual hearts are sometimes vulnerable to despair, cynicism, resignation, anger, confusion, dis-ease, apathy, selfishness, or paralysis. The widow in today's parable represents someone who was vulnerable in her society, but also someone not afraid to advocate for herself and to seek justice. Who in our society is vulnerable today? As we continue to grow in our understanding of what it means to be a reconciling in Christ congregation, we realize that some of the most vulnerable in our society are those who struggle with their sexuality or those whose bold claim of their sexual identity and the nonconformity it represents cause others to struggle, sometimes even to the point of responding with violence and hatred. In this past year, we have become keenly aware that the freedom of religion upon which our country was founded, the past civil rights movement for people of color, and the women's rights movements of the past has not led us to a society free from discrimination, bias, objectification, and oppression. Rather, the isms we had hoped were waning all of a sudden have raised to a level of prominence and ugliness which demands a response. As church, we are both widow and judge in this story that Jesus told. We as church need to better understand all those on the short end of justice who sometimes wear us out with their persistence on behalf of themselves or others. While perhaps not quite as disrespectful of other people and God as the judge is in today's parable, we may still be indifferent to the point of not responding to either the justice which God asks of us or the justice others ask of us. The church is also made up of those who are vulnerable. We need to look at the vulnerable in our midst as our leaders and acknowledge our own vulnerability. After all, it's the children among us who speak the truth when they say the emperor has no clothes. It is the disenfranchised among us who speak the truth which makes us aware of privilege. It is the weak and powerless among us who speak truth when they expose the curtain behind which false strength and power hide, as in the story of the Wizard of Oz. Leave it to Toto to be the one through whom God works. Before we lose heart, while we are losing heart, and after we lose heart, we have always had and still have the gift of prayer and the gift of faith. Through prayer and the action to which it compels us, we find heart, we find faith. Through prayer and the action to which it compels us, we have our hearts restored and participate in God's heart, participate in God's transformation of our world, one challenge at a time, one day at a time, one decade at a time, and if necessary, centuries at a time. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Thanks be to God. Amen.